Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned to
Disorderly Conduct
with your host,
Vince in the Bay.
Hi there, honey. I'm number one.
Hi there, fella. I'd like to see you after the show.
Gay or what?
Vince
in the Gay or what?
Vince in the Bay.
Yeah. YouTube. 5 seconds. Hang on. Two. Hey, check. Check two. Hey, I'm here. One, two. Check. Hey, I'm back. I was having a discussion. Oh, hey, Sanguinarius. Glad you're here, dude. Hey, you know, I was talking to these faggots about Palestine and Israel, and they were all getting in my face on Twitter, and I said, look, I'm just not in the mood for typing in 140 characters and arguing and being misunderstood and shit. So I said, let's do... Okay. Whatever. Sang just popped in to say that his show with I Has Candy had 12,000 listeners. Do you think that's because of you, Sang? It's because Jester and I ripped you a new asshole. That's why everybody listened to that show in the archive. You notice that there was maybe 200 live listeners, but 1,200 archive listeners, because everybody heard after the fact that you got butt raped. So, yeah. You're too pussy to fucking call in. You just jump in, you paste in your numbers, and you leave because you're a fucking loser. I'm waiting for these people to call in and talk about fucking Palestine and Israel and shit. They were talking a lot of smack about 20 minutes ago, half an hour ago. I said, hey, let's go on Tiny Chat. Oh, I'm a mobile. I can't go on Tiny Chat. Okay. Well, how about you hang on? I set up a BTR show, and we can just talk on the show and just use the show as a forum to discuss stuff. And conveniently, everybody has fallen asleep. Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Jaeger Johnson, who was talking a lot of smack, hasn't tweeted in 18 minutes. Oh, he must have dozed off. Oh, too bad. Well, I'll tell you what. I am just going to fucking freeform here for a little bit. If these guys don't show up, then I'll just shut the show down because they fucking pussed out. Okay, where am I? All right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to rally these people and get them in here. I don't know if they're ignoring me or if they're really asleep or what. Yeah, everybody's going to bed now. Uh-huh. Everybody's going to bed. Vince goes out of his way to set up a stupid show. And, okay, fine. You know what? This is what I'm going to do. I see guest listeners. Thank you for tuning in. I am going to do a broadcast. I hope people will call in and We can talk about Palestine and Israel. That was the point I wanted to talk with these guys, because honestly, I think I'm on their team. I just don't like some of the tactics they take, some of the approach. I'm not sure the approach they're taking is going to convince their critics. So I kind of wanted to debate them with that. And my obviously, I'm not a fucking expert on Israel and Palestine, and neither are these assholes either. They just see poor kids getting fucking blown to pieces by Israeli soldiers, and it pisses them off. And it pisses me off, too. Well, I don't get that pissed off, but it upsets me, too. And I don't want to see it happen. I want to see a solution. I want to see peace. And it appears to me that a one state of Israel with Palestinians having their own little cordoned off areas isn't really working. I can't think of any better solution than a two-state solution. I really don't. I would love to see Israel be one country, Palestinians and Israelis living together, which to some extent exists. Arabs and Israelis, Arabs and Jews live together in Israel, it's not, but whatever. Okay. All right. So I'm definitely going to do something here. I want you guys to hang on. I'm going to try to get on Twitter and rally some people in here. If not, fuck, I will just wing it. I can turn it into something else. It doesn't have to be about Israel, Palestine. If those faggots, all of a sudden got tired and fell asleep, that's fine. I'll just do a show anyway. Fuck, I went out of my way to create one. So I'm going to do it. I already did a show today, dude. This is my second show in the last, 4 or 5 hours. It's stupid. But I really want to talk about Palestine. In fact, what time is it in Palestine right now? Let me check. World clock. I'm following the markets too. So I'm going to do a market watch / I'm going to do a markets watch / Palestinian Israeli show. Okay, so in Israel right now, oh man, it looks like it's around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So people are up over there. I actually have some Twitter handles that I know of, who I could probably try to hit up and see if they'd be interested in calling in, since all these American faggots pussed out. So this is what I'm going to do. I keep telling you what I'm going to do. I'm going to play a song. This is a song by a group of Israelis. Oh shit, did I fucking not load it up? What the fuck? Let's see. Okay, here we go. I'm going to play a song by Balkan Beatbox. It's It's a band. They're based out of New York City / Tel Aviv. They combine Balkan brass music with like hip hop and Israeli shit, and it's very interesting music, and they're not Zionists, don't worry. And it's cool music. They're fun to see live. And so I'm going to play this song. I'm going to get on the horn and see if I can scrounge up some people, get some calls, and get some shit going here.
Baghdad. This one goes out to everyone. Say!
Oh, Tel Aviv, yalla, ele mi Ramallah. Kol ha-shenim, mesachim ala mikrad. Kulay mikol ha-diburim, yabo shalom inshallah. Kulay achay ha-kol yakum bo dor chadash. Lo tarich ledom, tarich lalechet ala. Tati chad abad shabay et ha-avar. Ma she-aya, ya, izor otanu ככה. Hayeladim צריכים בדים חדש. שיושבים למעלה גם לא את אלה שמבדילים בין אלוהים לאללה יאללה מה קרה אתם לא רואים מה קורה פה מסביב אני הגיע
הזמן
לתורם על התל לא לקחת אלף מהטיפשות של הפוליטיקאים לי עיניים שרצים בזיגזג כדי לגעת בשמיים אתה תמיד וזה טעים עוד לא נגש מהחיים וכבר נגלה אל מוות של טיפשים הוא יערוד ילדון אחר כי לא תמיד היה חסר לא לומדים להתבקר, לומדים להתגבר לא מבין מה
כל השכנים משחקים על המגרש אולי מכל הדיבורים יבוא שלום אינשאללה אולי אחרי הכל יקום פה דור חדש לא צריך לדום, צריך ללכת הלאה קצת איתך בבקשה ואת העבר מה שהיה היה עיוור
אותנו ככה. הילדים צריכים להתחדד.
Okay, that was Balkan Beatbox, recorded live at what was formerly known as Irving Plaza. Now the Fillmore company has bought it out. It's now called the Fillmore at Irving Plaza or some shit. But I recorded that myself live. That was Balkan Beatbox. I hope you enjoyed that. They're a band that splits their time from... They're based half in New York, half in Tel Aviv. So I hope you enjoyed that. Hey, there's Zazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazazz. Thanks for showing up. So, I was on Twitter, and I was getting into it with some of these friends of mine who were, I don't even know what it started. We were talking about Israel and we were debating a little bit, and I just didn't feel like going back and forth on Twitter. I kind of wanted to just talk, because in the past, when I get in these back and forth debates on Twitter, typically, a lot of shit gets lost in translation. Sarcasm doesn't really translate well on Twitter. It's hard to explain everything in 140 characters, especially if you want to like break it up. And then, you know, you're answering one question, and as soon as you're done with that and send it, the other person has already brought something else up. And it's just, it can be a headache. It really can. I rather do like a chat, like an IRC or a Jabber or a Kick or Skype or anything, man. Let's talk. And apparently it was bedtime for these people. So that's cool. Whatever. It's Zazazaz. No, I'm not stoned. I wish I was stoned. I'm fucking tired, man. It's 3:30 in the morning here now. I was on Twitter just, like, messing around with people. And we got into a debate, and I said, hey, let's go to Tiny Chat. And this dude was like, oh, bro, I'm on my mobile. I can't do Tiny Chat. I was like, all right, you're on your mobile, huh? So that means you can call. I tell you what, I can set up a BTR show, and we can talk on there. Let's fucking debate. And, oh, I don't know, dude. Let's see if I can stay up that late. You know, and we keep tweeting up until about 15 minutes before the show starts. Suddenly, everybody's asleep. Boggles my mind. But I'm... Oh, sexy Monica loves the idea. She would have preferred more notice, though. You know, I fuck, dude. I wish I had more notice. What's cool, though, is it's what, 6:30 in the morning? On the East Coast. So I could turn this into like a morning drive time show. Yeah, we need more Eurozone followers. We need more Middle Eastern followers too. Because right now the Eurozone and the Middle East are, you know, it's the middle of the day over there. So I don't know if you guys know anybody who is out there that might be interested in calling in and talking about this subject or any subject. You know, I wanted to talk about this subject, but the people I wanted to talk to about it, it was past their bedtime and they had to go night-night. So I made a pot of coffee and I'm going to just do a early morning show. So hopefully East Coasters will listen to this on their way to work or at work, and we can make it a fun thing. I can change the – what's great about BTR is I can totally change the description and stuff. Well, I don't think I can change the fucking flags, but whatever. We can turn it into whatever we want. So, like I said, what I'm going to do right now is stick with the subject at hand and try to catch myself up on some of the news regarding Barack Obama and Benjamin Netanyahu and, oh, God, who's the guy that's the leader of... Palestine or Hamas or whatever. I don't even know. Okay, so President Barack Obama's push to cut a deal with Iran over the country's nuclear program could spell doom for his other Mideast priority, settling the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu angrily reacted to the prospect of a short-term pact with Tehran and is concerned, blah, 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 that it'll put even... Wait. Okay. His angry reaction to the prospect of a short-term pact with Tehran is virtually certain to put an even bigger chill on already languishing U.S. led Israeli-Palestinian talks. And the timing could make things even more difficult. About 6 months are left in the 9-month time frame Secretary of State John Kerry laid out when Israelis and Palestinians agreed to resume peace negotiations in July on long disputed issues including the status of Jerusalem, borders of a Palestinian state, and the fate of Israeli settlements in the West Bank. And Obama and Kerry and other U.S. officials are discussing a 6-month agreement with Iran to halt its nuclear program in exchange for a temporary easing of sanctions. So, you know, there's this Iran-U.S.-Israel tension. And then connected to that is the Palestinian issue. So this is all being used as leverage. So this means the Israeli-Palestinian negotiations are likely to be at the most delicate and at their most I can't read. So the Israeli-Palestinian negotiations are likely to be at their most delicate and momentous stage, just as Israel and the U.S. and others are making it difficult and complicated to assess whether Iran has complied with the interim nuclear deal and whether a permanent pact should be put in place. Yeah, this is... Hey, Caesar! Thank you, Caesar Abbas. Thank you. I forgot. Thank you. That's right. Is it Mohammed Abbas, I think? Anyhoot. Hey, Caesar, thanks for coming through, man. Everybody else chickened out or fell asleep. Yeah, right. And, what am I saying here? Oh, okay. Yeah, Caesar, look, I'm going to apologize to you on the air here for snapping at you. I was trying to, like, get on a serious level. I was trying to get on a serious level with Schmoop about this Palestinian thing. He is very gung-ho on the whole thing. And I'm right with him, man. You know, I think the shit's fucked up there, and there needs to be a solution. And, you know, I would love to see one unified state where I could have a lot of listeners if people knew. Well, help me get people to know, you know, tell the East Coasters, tell the Euros, tell the Middle Eastern people that I'm on right now, and I'm talking about this subject, and I want people to call in that know about it, because, you know, I'm far from an expert on this. I mean, I've followed it enough over the decades to form an opinion, but, you know, there's so much, it's so complicated that I don't know all the details, and I don't know the whole story, and I was hoping to get some folks on here to set me straight. You know, I had Stanley Cohen on my show earlier. We did an NFL show. We didn't even talk about this shit. We talked about football. But when he was in San Jose, I had a talk with him about Israel and Palestine and blah, blah, blah. And trying to reach out to folks over there, mostly people that are young and are activists and aren't happy with what's going on in their country. So, So I'd like to see us reach out to Israeli and Palestinian activists who are just as frustrated with the situation as we are as outsiders, and get their perspective, get their ideas. I'd like to know what a Palestinian thinks of a two-state solution. I'd like to know what an Israeli thinks of a two-state solution. I'd love to know what Caesar thinks of a two-state solution. Did I finish my apology, Caesar? I was trying to have a serious debate with Schmoop, and then Caesar popped in and called me a faggot or something. And normally, you know, I just laugh or call him a fat ass or something, but I just wasn't in the mood, man. I wanted to try to get on a serious level with Schmoop because I know Schmoop is trying to be real about this, and I don't know. I just want to help. That's all. You know, I love you guys. And just because I snap at you or you know, make sarcastic or cynical comments. It's not because I don't like you personally. I might agree with or disagree with some of the shit that you think, but that's no reason for us to get all butthurt. I just like open discussion. I like exchanging of ideas. I like the battle of ideas. So I'm totally down to debate, to learn. I don't know the whole situation. I've read a little bit up on the history of that region. If you think the U.S. and Israel have been a thorn in the side of those people, they're just the latest. They're just the latest to come through. Before that, it was the Ottoman Empire. It was Arabian empires. It was Jewish empires. It was the Romans. I mean, a lot of foreign entities have tried to meddle with that situation, and it's all because of the Holy Land. Everybody wants to lay claim to the Holy Land. Essentially, the Israelis want to lay claim to the Holy Land because of the Temple Mount, which has been destroyed, and I believe there's a freaking mosque built over it or next to it, and that's apparently not kosher. So it's just, it's a mess, people. It really is. Caesar, feel free to call in, dude. Serious. Monica is talking about me. Sexy Monica is tweeting about me. Okay. Why don't I tweet Sexy Monica? Where is she? What is she saying about me? Live phone is a good idea. No. If it gets rolling, he will receive calls 24/7. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know. This chick doesn't seem to be... But yes, can think of something so all continents could be involved with a good plan. He will be a busy man soon. Oh, okay. Yeah. No, that's... Yeah, yeah, totally. Encourage her to come in and... chat or call or whatever, because I'm totally down. I'm just vamping right now because I made this show because a certain group of people were getting on me about Palestine, and I said, look, I can't do this in 140 characters back and forth. It's frustrating. I'd much rather just have a conversation. Let's just talk. And apparently that couldn't work out for them. I gave them a half hour notice, and suddenly everybody fell asleep. That's fine. That's fine. I'm okay with that. So she's in my timeline. She's at work at the moment. That's cool. Maybe you can tell her if there's any way. I mean, she doesn't have to call in, but she can tune in at work and listen and tweet me, I guess. I mean, what the fuck? All right, I got a call. I'm going to take this call. Thank God. Whoever this is, thank you for saving me. Welcome to the show. Who's this?
Yo, it's Caesar.
Oh, Caesar, thanks for saving me, dude. What's going on, bro?
Not much, just, you know, up late. I don't sleep like ever.
You mean early?
Whatever. It's 6 a.m.
Yeah, I'm an insomniac myself, dude. I am a little bit tired, just kind of like physically and mentally tired from a long day. But I was really excited to get Sicko and that Jaeger dude on here and hear what they have to say because, you know, I'm not necessarily, you know, opposed to their views and stuff. I just think that I follow a lot of these kids who are very passionate about Palestine and the struggle of those folks. And I see their heart in the right place and I see them very passionate, but I also see a lot of, people tweeting who were obviously not totally well informed. And then when I hear stuff like, oh, you can't reference Wikipedia, that doesn't count. Like, okay, right. Look, Wikipedia is crowdsourced. I get it, okay? But it's also crowdsourced from articles and whatnot, and it's footnoted, and there's sources, and if something is disputed, there's a process. So you can't tell me that everything on Wikipedia is a lie, can you?
No, not everything's a lie, but you got to take it, I think, with a grain of salt because it could be misinformation as well as maybe a pro-Palestine site or a pro-Israel site can be misinformation.
Exactly. So my argument to Shmoop is, well, if Wikipedia isn't credible, what makes your website credible?
Yeah, I mean, it all has to be taken with a grain of salt. The best information that I found out through all my experiences from people itself, people on the ground in Palestine and Gaza.
That's great. So what kind of stuff did they tell you?
A lot of the conditions. I've actually been to Palestine, so I know somewhat what's going on. I was only there for a few weeks, but it's a lot of occupation, obviously.
Checkpoints.
Yeah, a lot of checkpoint stuff, which is completely nerve-wracking. And they have no problem detaining anybody at all. You will get detained at a checkpoint if you have a book on how to speak Arabic or the Quran. And now they have a new policy where you have to give them your email address so they can monitor it.
Damn. So did you have to give them your email address?
That was one I don't know.
Yeah, it's a lot of
fake subscription stuff.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess that's just to catch stupid people that don't create an email just for nothing.
Yeah, it's to catch idiots, really, because who's going to really say incriminating stuff on their own email?
No shit. That's crazy. I didn't know that you'd been. I had no idea that you'd been there. Go ahead. You were going to say something?
I've been to Gaza and the West Bank. West Bank is a lot better off than Gaza. I mean, it's still pretty bad, but it's better off. It's more occupation in West Bank. There's always, you see Israeli soldiers everywhere in the West Bank. But in Gaza, you'll see them at the borders, but inside it's controlled by Hamas. But it's just so stricken with poverty and the continued wars, especially like a few years ago, there was the Hamas-Fatah war that was very bloody, continued with the Operation Cast Lead that killed over 1,000 Palestinians, and then last November with the Operation Pillar Defense, which killed probably, I think it killed 300, 400 people and then injured like 2,000.
Damn.
They usually do these operations around election time because apparently it gets all the right-wing Israeli politicians. It gets them support when they go attack Palestine. So it's used as an
intimidation factor around election time.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's not germane to that country either.
No.
Countries all over the world do that. And you could argue that it's even done here in a different way.
It's done in a different way here. Israel is a little more blatant about it. They just really don't care because no one's going to really do anything against Israel. U.S. won't denounce them. It'll never happen, ever. We give them billions of dollars each year.
Are you talking about Israel?
Yeah.
Okay. I think, to be fair, I'm going to fact check you, but I don't think it's billions a year. I think it's more like $1 billion a year, which is still a good chunk of change, and it goes more or less straight to their military, just like our money goes to Egypt's military.
Yes.
But
when Obama got reelected or during some time in his first term he promised $30 billion over the next decade. Something like that.
Yeah. It's insane. And it really bugs me that, you know, okay, on the surface, we're allies with Israel, right? Okay, so
right.
It makes logical sense that we would, if we're going to give people aid, a country aid, we'd give an aid to an ally. Fair enough. But is Pakistan our ally? I seem to recall us finding, this guy, I forgot his name, Osama something, the leader of the all evil menacing Al-Qaeda, who was, safe harbor by Pakistan. We drone the shit out of Pakistan. So we basically pay them to blow up their shit. What's up with
that?
Yeah,
we're allies, but not really allies. It's one of those things where we just use them because they want money. And we can use their airspace too.
Yeah, it's that. I think you're right about the airspace. And I think it's also a little bit of payola, too, for them not to nuke the fuck out of India.
Yeah.
Because India is, I guess, an ally of ours, too. And they are in an eternal battle over the Kashmir region with Pakistan. So that doesn't make sense to me. Why are we funding both sides? And you can find contradictions like that all over. And Palestine, let's be real. Palestine, they get funding too. They get support too. They have Hezbollah. They have the Saudis. They have Iran.
Hezbollah doesn't really operate in Palestine because they're mostly based in Lebanon and now in Syria. But Hamas, Fatah, the Palestinian Authority, and a little bit of the Islamic Jihad is the groups who are based in Palestine.
Right.
Islamic Jihad is also based. Well, it used to be when the Muslim Brotherhood ran Egypt. They used to be their armed wing, but now they're all over the place.
Yeah, you know, Hezbollah has definitely expanded since the 80s.
They're a legit military.
Yeah, yeah. Of course. They defeated the Israeli military. I mean, if they can defeat the Israelis, then that says something.
Yeah, they are very well-funded and very well-skilled, and their technology is going up there every day, and they have probably one of the most influential leaders in at least the Arab world with Nasrallah.
So tell me, I assume you know a lot of the history behind the different leadership and groups that have operated within Palestine. What the fuck happened to the PLO?
They basically started shrinking while other groups, like at one time the PLO was Gaza and in the West Bank, but now they're a little bit in the West Bank, but basically they merged into Fatah, which is
Fatah. Now what? Wait, okay, so yeah, that's right. Fatah, who is kind of friendly to the U.S., like the U.S., if I'm not mistaken, was trying to push for Fatah to, like, when they organized these elections, the U.S. was pushing hard for Fatah to get control. Am I right?
Because Fatah is it's a secular movement, whereas Hamas is like Islamic State. Fatah is the Palestinian Authority, which Abbas is currently the president of.
Got it.
U.S. likes them because they have stated they don't want another Intifada, so that's mainly the reason why they like them.
I want to take a quick minute to thank Monica for joining. Monica, thank you for your tweets. I agree. This show should have been more well prepared. It was 100% impromptu. It started with a debate or a discussion on Twitter amongst a few folks. Actually, it was me and Shmoop were talking, and we weren't even, like, fighting, dude. We were just kind of discussing, debating, right? I mean, did you think I was attacking him or anything?
No, it was just a debate, in my opinion.
Yeah. So we're getting into this, and we kind of agree to disagree, and we want to, you know, we want to talk about stuff. And I really, I'm really, really, really inspired by his passion for this. And I hope he can rally all his friends to help support him and help spread the word. And I'd love to see him and people like you and everybody else who's active and paying attention to this, to reach out to the equivalent on the other side. Like I said, the Palestinian activists, the Israeli activists, get on the same page, you know, get the, you probably, since you've been there, I would imagine you have a ton of connections. I mean, you should certainly try to tap into any folks out there that that can help, you know, I guess educate the people like Sicko and Schmoop and all these people who are very eager and are following it closely. But, you know, you can only learn so much from reading Twitter and the news, and it's so much different when your boots on the ground there and you're seeing it and you're talking to actual people who are living it.
Yeah, the biggest thing is just talking to people. People have a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I every once in a while I'll jump in a cab with, you know, stereotypical cab drivers, well, at least in San Francisco. Well, in San Francisco, the cab drivers are all Ethiopian. But I took a cab in L.A. with an Iranian and had an awesome discussion with him. And, you know, they have a more nuance. You know, these people, they're just like us. We have a nuanced approach to how we feel about our government and its actions. And so do they. And it's really unfair that the U.S. Media portrays them in a certain light as victims, and either as victims or as terrorists, not as people that can think and do stuff for themselves. Now in Palestine, obviously, I think they need some help. But it's just, I don't know. It can frustrate me sometimes, especially when I see these slacktivists who are just sort of like, you know, seeing their friends tweet stuff and it looks cool, so they're going to be all for Free Palestine too, and they don't even know the half of the story, you know?
Right. Like before I even got into it, even before I went there, I was just learning about it, because I grew up in a Christian house where they said, oh, Israel's good, Palestine's bad. So I grew up thinking that. And then you just do your research and you realize it's not that black and white. Nothing in life is that black and white. And you just do your research. You shouldn't just hop on a bandwagon because your friends are saying, oh, Free Palestine. You should do your research. Plenty of documentaries on what goes on over there. Plenty of really good ones. If anybody really wants to watch a good documentary, watch Five Broken Cameras, because that is probably one of the best documentaries I've ever seen.
Five Broken Cameras.
Yes. It's based in the West Bank, and they're talking, and it's one guy, he gets five cameras broken either by bullets or an IDF soldier takes it, and it's just, it's a lot of the protests, and it's just surreal how they are treated by the IDF soldiers.
Yeah.
And it's,
Okay. This is a thing. I want to clarify. Now, when you were in Palestine and stuff, or Israel, whatever. Now, are these people getting policed by police, or are they actual soldiers, or are they just militarized police?
Depends what you're talking about. If you're talking about in the West Bank, it's the IOF, Israel Occupation Forces. And in the West Bank, it's a lot of, it's Hamas police. I mean, in Gaza, it's a lot of Hamas police, because they have their own police force, obviously. and only at the borders where the Israeli military will step in.
Interesting. God, I can't wait till that shit comes here. It's going to be so much fun. You know what? I'm just happy that I can still talk and not get arrested.
Yeah. You can't do that there because recently 25 Palestinian activists in the West Bank got arrested for Facebook posts.
It's retarded. People are fucking retarded. Yeah. Did I finish saying hi to what's her name? Monica.
Monica.
Hey, Monica, I just followed you on Twitter. I'm stalking you now. Thanks for listening, and I apologize again for not being prepared. Again, this was a last minute thing. It wasn't even supposed to be a show. I wanted to just do a tiny chat and just talk to people, but the person that I was in the main debate with, the person who was going to own me, what was his name? Jaeger. This dude. Okay. Let me read his fucking tweets.
He's a smart dude.
All right. I don't doubt it. He was just all about, let's get this on, dude. Let's debate. I'm like, all right, call my show. Let's do it. Okay. Where is it? Jeez, where does it start with this guy? He gets into apartheid. Okay, do you think what's happening in Israel is Oh, that's what it was. I told him that I thought that the best solution would be a two-state solution. First of all, what's your thoughts on that?
I mean, I would prefer just one state where everybody lives in peace, but that's idealistically.
How's that working out? How's that working out right now?
Obviously, it's not working out good because there are a lot of it's a lot of complicated issues, and it's a lot of propaganda issues. But I would like a two-state solution to work, but it would take a lot of conceding on Israel's part because they've been just taking over land with all these settlements, which are legal by the laws of the UN. It's international law crime. So they would, a lot of these settlements are American Jewish people who get paid by Israel to come over here. And what's going to happen if they make a two-state solution, part of it is Palestine is going to want that land back. They're going to want close to the 67 borders. That's the only way I think it can get done. Because without that, they get basically nothing because all these settlements are everywhere. Like, they just approved 15,000 more homes to be demolished for Israeli settlers. So they're trying to slowly move them out. And the thing with Israel, their goal is this, what they call the Greater Erez Israel, which... it's promised from the it's in the Old Testament or in the Torah, where it's like from the Euphrates and the Tigris rivers all the way into Egypt. That's historic Israel, like the time of King David and everything like that.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. Just saying a two-state solution is easier said than done, no doubt about it. It's going to be messy if they try that.
I would like it to work. Like, I saw what you're saying with Jaeger, like, technically right now it's apartheid because of the walls. And what's happening in Gaza with the blockades and Egypt helping Israel with the blockade of the Gaza Sea. So right now it's an apartheid state. But if they did a two-state solution with, like, a legal two-state solution with an official country of Palestine, they won't be apartheid because they'll be able to freely trade. Right now they can't.
Okay.
That's really a problem because Gaza is so poor because they can't freely trade. They have to go through Israel, which Israel takes a lot of money off the top.
Oh, God, I found this tweet from Jaeger. Okay, he says, all right, Vince in the Bay, just me and you, debating Palestine. Grease yourself all over because it's going to be rough as fuck. Come at me, bro. I'm here. Come fucking at me. I'm not going to fucking debate you on Twitter because it's just not the right format. Like, I can get into a little bit of back and forth with people, but this is a heavy subject, and there's just no way, because what's going to happen is people are going to see that me going back and forth with him, and they're going to see one of my tweets out of context, or they're going to see one of his tweets out of context, and then they're going to jump in and call me an anti-Semite or an anti-Palestinian and all this bullshit. And I've been there and I've done that, and I'm not interested. That's part of the reason why I do this podcast, is so we can extend these debates beyond just pitter-patting on our computers, you know? And I think a lot of people, I'm not going to accuse Jaeger of this, but, you know, I'll give Jaeger the benefit of the doubt. He wanted to debate on Twitter. He got tired. He went to sleep. Fine. I get it. But a lot of people hide behind Twitter. They'll argue with you, and they'll never admit they're wrong, even when they are. And if you try to invite them to talk, whether it be like this on a podcast, or whether it just be a private Skype to Skype thing, or a tiny chat, or whatever, people find reasons not to be able to do it. Oh, my video card is down. Oh, my sound sucks on my computer. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Oh, woe is me. Okay? I hear all these excuses. A lot of people just love to fucking hear themselves jump up on their soapbox on Twitter, or look at themselves on their soapbox on Twitter, and they're deathly afraid of anybody cornering them, because if you call into this podcast, you have to answer questions, and if you dodge them, people are going to hear that. It's not like Twitter where you can just say, oh, I was away from my computer. Oh, I missed your message. No, you didn't. You're on the fucking phone with me right now, listening to me, so you have to answer. And that scares people. And I understand it. It's fine. And some people are shy. That too. I don't think Jaeger's shy. He doesn't strike me as a shy guy. But, you know, maybe we can try this again and plan it out right and get people lined up like you and others. And I want to get some people from Palestine, some people from Israel. I want to get, a good round table, a good cross section to really dig into this. And it'd be great if we had people that were really you know, like reporters or, you know, because you and I, like, and all these other folks, we're just regular schmoes who pay attention to the news and do our own research with the tools we have available. And, you know, in your case, you even went so far as you went there yourself. But your, you know, your experience is going to be different than, you know, another person that does the same thing. And now, but then there's people that are professional reporters, people who are paid to be there, to report, to investigate, to dig, and to find stuff, either on the ground or, you know, within the bureaucracy of whatever nation or non-nation. And it'd be great if we could get a, you know, a couple of people like that on too, and just mix it up, because I think, you know, the best we can do is, I mean, we have no power, because, you know, let's face it, we don't have any representation here as United States citizens. Our representatives left us a long time ago. So all we have are platforms like Twitter and Facebook and BTR and Tumblr and blogs and all that shit. So I think the more we stay, you know, with that, the more we're going to educate ourselves, become more knowledgeable, become, you know, even authorities on stuff. As far as I'm concerned, right now on this show, you're the authority on the Palestinian situation.
And I don't consider myself an authority at all. I know.
But compared to me, bro, you are. But
so, Jaeger just tweeted.
Oh, really? Is he going to call in?
Yeah.
Fuck, yeah.
I told him to be.
Thank you for
God
doing
damn
that.
It. Why did Bunch choose a devil's hour?
Yeah. Thanks, dude. Thanks for doing that. I really want to get him on, because that's the whole reason why I did this, is so me, Jaeger and I could talk. I could hear his, because, you know, he sounds like he knows his shit, and he's like just as passionate as you or Schmoop or Sicko or whoever. And I just want to hear him out, and I want to pick his brain, and I want to play devil's advocate. Again, I think I'm on your side. I really do. And I think there's a lot of people that are on your side that you would be surprised to find out. It's just, it's like Anonymous, you know, like a lot of these causes that Anonymous does, I think are legitimate. I think, yeah, this is altruistic, but they always fuck up the process, you know? They always find some way to do it wrong. And I'm not saying you guys are doing anything wrong, but, you know, let's face it, I think you know what I'm saying, is like, I want to make sure we're not getting it wrong. When I see tweets from Schmoop, you know, rapid fire tweets about stuff, I start to think, where the fuck is he getting this from? Does he even like read this shit or vet this shit? Does he know the websites he's getting this from? Does he have any clue what sources he's using? You know, I don't know. And then for somebody to fact check him and use, oh, gasp, Wikipedia of all things. And then him to shoot him down saying, oh, Wikipedia doesn't count. Well, how do I know that the fucking over 9,000, pro-Palestinian website that you, posted are relevant, you know, should be trusted. It's just it works both ways.
I think you have to get a variety of sources to get the full truth. That's just my personal opinion. I don't speak for anybody else. I try to use as many sources as I can just to see the differences. Like, my main, if I'm going to say a pro-Palestinian website, is Mon News, which I have contacts there. So I know the people that work in there, and I know how their journalistic integrity is. And that's probably, if you want news inside Palestine, that's probably the best website you can go to. It's maannews.net.
maannews.net?
maannews.net. And there's an English and Arabic version.
maannews
.net.
Okay. I'm
then
going
you
there
go
now.
/ENG for English.
Oh, cool. E N G. Presto, I'm on it. Cool, dude. Do they, I hope they have a Twitter I can follow too. You know,
yes,
when I find when I find these sites and stuff, that's the first thing I look for. Is just like, I don't give a fuck about anything. I just want to know if you guys are on Twitter, because I'm gonna forget this shit. And so if I follow you, then you'll remind me. Oh, there it is, Twitter. Yeah, I'm gonna follow these guys.
They're pretty good.
News agency. Cool, man. All right, so I'm following these guys. Blah, 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 blah. So the PLO still exists?
Yeah, the PLO is Fatah. They kind of changed
right.
things.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's right. You said that. Okay. I have a caller on the line. I think it might be Jaeger. He doesn't have his hand up, though. And what I mean by that is, Jaeger, I don't know if you've called the show before, but if you want to come on the air, you call in and you press the number 1. The number, when you press 1 on your keypad, that puts you in the caller's queue. If not, you can just call in and listen. That's not a big deal. But if you're calling in to talk, this goes for obviously for everybody. If you want to talk on the show, just press the number 1 when you call in, and that will put you in the caller queue, and then I'll put you on the air. Yeah. So, hey, thanks really quick to, of course, Caesar, our guest listeners, Love for World Peace, Moro Zinu. Jesus Christ. What is that? Is that some fucking sci-fi shit? Yeah, wait, isn't that like the god of Scientology?
Something like that.
Yeah. Dude. Weird. The Scientologists are kind of weird, don't you think?
Yeah.
Also, thank you for tuning in and trying to get the word out. It's early. I know people are fucking doing shit, like sleeping and getting ready for work and stuff. But it's all good. You know what I want to try to do is I want to do a last ditch effort, because we got 45 minutes left to go, and I want Caesar. Can you make it all the way through?
Yeah.
Sweet. Oh man, you're a lifesaver. Okay, so this is what we'll do. I'm gonna take a break. I'm gonna go on Twitter and try to round up some people, see if I can get some listeners and callers. And I hope everybody out there will do the same. And while we're doing that, I'll play a song. And I want to get another cup of coffee, too. Caesar, what kind of music do you like?
Usually hip-hop.
What kind of hip-hop?
Anything, really.
Like, what kind of people do you like?
I like a lot of foreign stuff, actually. Like Arabic. You can put on Loki or something. Loki or Omar Effendim.
Yeah, like I have that on my fucking switchboard, dude. hip-hop. Have I played the coup for you?
No.
You ever heard the coup?
No.
Dude, you got to get into the coup. My homie, Boots Riley, I did a show with him. It's like my featured show on my Blog Talk site. He is an avowed communist or socialist, whatever. Same difference to me. He's all about the revolution. He does a lot of social commentary in his lyrics. He's not like his lyrics. Some of them are overtly political. Others are just social commentaries that sort of have a political undertone to him. And he's a great lyricist. He's a really cool guy. I've done videos for him and stuff. And he was a big part of Occupy Oakland. He actually put his fucking money where his mouth is and participated in Occupy Oakland. I'm not talking like Tom Morello did, where he was like, "Hey dudes, I'm gonna play three songs for you and sign autographs at your Occupy and give out free tickets to my concert that's in town." It was more like, "Hey, I'm not." It was more like Boots just showed up, went to the GAs, got on the mic when he got his turn. You know, of course, he's a hip hop artist. He's, you know, fairly well known. He's probably the most recognizable person, a part of that movement. And he ran himself ragged because at the same time he was participating in Occupy Oakland, he was working on his new record. And so I give him a lot of respect for that. And now he's touring and he's working on music. And so he's got to kind of make a living because you know how it is. If you stop life and go be active for an extended period of time, you lose income and you have to be more frugal. And if you have kids to support and stuff, it's even tougher. So eventually life called and Boots had to get back to that. But he's still around. And I'm trying to figure out, I'm vamping because I'm trying to figure out what song I want to play by the coup. Shit, the song I wanted to play isn't on here. But this one's pretty cool. This is kind of an anthem. I did a video for this. It's from not his latest album, but the one he did before it called We Are the Ones. It's kind of like an anthem that if you listen to the lyrics are kind of, you know, almost like a theme for people who are struggling across the world. I think his is more geared towards America, but I think it could be applied to Palestine, Israel, Syria, Lebanon, Turkey, Egypt, and the United States, of course. And here it is. We Are the Ones. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
disgrace. Smash up too late, that's just polite. Once upon a time when crack was gold and hip-hop was not yet platinum, so that cowardice reached the stacks to fold. My mood like my hair was relaxed and blowed. I hated police and my teachers were beat. My heat in the trunk of the classic caprice. The one university I knew Yale, so I cooked it, tagged it, put it on sale. Now philosophically you'd be opposed to an inhaling coke by a mouth or the nose, but economically I would propose that you go eat and drink as employment it throws. And I felt like an abandoned child, left to fend for myself in the wild, while every courtroom judge and gavel were there to bury me under the gravel or at the bottom of the finest small ale. Observe, you find without fail that in every neighborhood and penitentiary there exist many others who are similar to we, and we are the ones. We'll see your face here today. Go get your attention. We can't fight. It's your disgrace. Smash up your plate. That's just polite. In later years, I lost some peers who mixed burners with Belvedere and took shots from gung-ho cashiers. The world was hell, yet hell was near. So I cheap for a kilo, and my sack got a little bit taller like Kilo, a street CEO. There was all of this heroin and this was hero. The intensity was 45 as I clinched 5 digits on the 45. Belly down at the retail store, I would detail more, but I don't wish attention to be glorified. If there was a plan, I would take to listen, to not sleep in the park in the fetal position, having to wipe off canine fecal emission. Otherwise, I'd survive without legal permission. That's an equal division, and then we go to prison, which is a lethal decision. All I wanted was the Rico to glisten, and my kids to have meat in the kitchen. I'm complete ammunition. There's a given what the people are driven that way. We are the ones. We'll see you faint here today. Go get your stomach. We can't fight. It's your disgrace. Smash up your face. That's just a lie. The dreams and the dust, the evidence flush, the grieving is just, the leaving from us, insulted and cursed. This evening we bust, our fears unstable and under the table. We like free speech, but we love free cable. We're taught from the cradle, the Bill Gates fable, which leads to high speeds and viewers disabled. We have no excuses, just great alibis, and poker faces you can't analyze. Our politicians sell our soul and our cries, with blood on the hands they can't sanitize. We're the have-nots, but we're also the gone kids. Not just talking about the left with the chrome kits. You can do that by yourself with the both and the solo shit.
We are the ones. We'll see you faint here today. Go get your stomach. We can't fight. It's your disgrace. Smash up your legs. That's your life. We are the ones. We'll see you faint here today. Go get your stomach. We can't fight.
Very nice. High five.
Tune to Disorderly Conduct with your host, Vince in the Bay. Give us a call, bitches. 347-826-7667. And now, back to the show.
Fuck. From my coughing. Shit. Shit. Caesar, are you still there?
Yeah.
From my coughing, you can tell I didn't go get coffee.
No.
But I do have a nice ice cold glass of water. And I got to tell you, man, one of my favorite things in life is enjoying a nice ice cold beverage. Do you agree?
It's good. Yeah.
It doesn't even matter. I mean, I know you prefer that poison alcohol, but I'm perfectly content with a tall glass of ice water.
Anything cold is good.
So good, so good. Okay, so I saw a tweet from Jaeger. I don't know if he's calling in, but what did he say? Caesar, don't do you dirty enough. I done told you to get off my property. Oh, wait, is he pussing out? Is he not calling in?
I don't think he's calling in. He says he's half asleep.
Yeah, yeah. He fell half asleep pretty fucking quick. I told him I was getting a pot of coffee. I told him I was making a pot of coffee, and it was on, dude. I greased myself up for him and everything. Did you see his tweet? Did I read it to you?
Yeah.
I retweeted it, too. I was like, homie, I'm greased up. Let's do this. I love it when these fucking keyboard warriors come up with all this fucking, like, sanguinarius who into my chat room really fast before just when it started. Talk so much game on Twitter and in an IRC and shit. And first of all, if you just talk to them, they shrivel up like a fucking prune. And I guarantee you that motherfucker would shit his pants if I took him out to coffee and had a fucking discussion with him. Because he's a fucking loser. He's a loser who is a wannabe FBI informant. Have you seen the emails that from him to the FBI? Do you know who I'm talking about, first of all?
Barely. I don't.
Okay, good. It's better off. Okay. There's this old school troll. His name's goes by Sanguinarius. He's been fully doxxed. And he was, you know, an Anon and then an anti-Anon. And now he just tries to fuck with everybody. And he thinks he's all sly. And he thinks he's like Neil Rauhauser. And he's going to, like, you know, turn people into the FBI and shit. And there's emails out there of the FBI saying, could you please stop sending us this? We told you what a credible threat is, blah, blah, blah. Unless what you have for us fits that criteria, we're not interested. Go away. So, yeah. Fuck that guy. Anyway, we had a caller. We still have a caller who had their hand up for a second. Caller, if you want to join, press 1 again. Don't be shy. But yeah, it's me and Caesar. We're just kicking it. Got less than a half hour to go. Or no, do we have a half hour? My clock's off. So, yeah, we have 20 minutes to go. And we can continue chopping it up about Palestine and Israel. And if anybody in the chat room would like to participate, such as Love for World Peace, Morzinu, Cinnabul, and Zazabubba Jabba 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 Blobbity Bloop, if any of you have input or questions you'd like to raise, feel free to contribute. So Caesar, let me see if this, okay. I'm I'm gonna meet up with you in New York soon, dude. I'm pretty stoked about that.
Yeah, I'll be there for Hammond's hearing. I don't know if I'm gonna spend that night there. I'm probably gonna spend the night there, and then I'm coming back to Boston for the Hack Politics Ballet.
Excuse me, what ballet?
I recently got free tickets to this. It's called Hack Politic. Mercedes told me about it. It was it's basically a ballet about Anonymous and Lulzsec.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Okay, you know what? I think somebody told me about this, and I have the same reaction. Gay.
Could be interesting. Never
but,
seen.
But it's it. But you know, I don't blame you for being curious and going. So
it could be either really good or just a total fucking train wreck. It'll be interesting.
I think it might be a train wreck, and I think it might be unintentionally entertaining or funny. Dude, you should call my show after and give me like a report on it. Like do your entertainment review on it. I think that would be fucking cool.
Yeah, I'll probably do that, and I'm going to be tweeting out pictures from it.
Oh, fuck yeah, absolutely, dude. Wait, so Lulzsec is part of this ballet? Like, it's just the theme?
Yeah, like, some of the characters are Kayla, the Jester, Sabu, Topiary, or however you say his name.
Topiary.
Do you know what
Topiary is? You know what topiary is? The
no.
word?
No, off the top of my head.
It's somebody who trims, those little tiny little Japanese trees? But the Ginsu trees, those are Ginsu knives, but whatever. These topiaries are the people who manicure these little Japanese trees or Chinese or Filipino. I don't know. But whatever. So that's cool. So Lulzsec is being portrayed. Oh my God. If you can, you know what would be cool? Is if you were able to get your camera phone and video an interview with the guy who plays Sabu. What's that?
I got the free tickets from the choreographer. And she invited me to stay after and talk with the cast and crew of the show.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. See if you can interview him, even if it's just audio. That would be awesome. Now I'm definitely curious. But you got to think of lulzy things to ask him. Like, fuck, dude. I don't know, man. Just. I don't know. Maybe just ask Sabu, dude, why? Why'd you do it, man? Why, pal? Oh, yeah, there we go. Somebody in the audience says, you know what you should do? Get the person that plays Topiary, take a picture of them with a shoe on their head. Because it's ballet, right? So they're already in tutus and shit.
Yeah.
And
well, no, they're not in tutus. They're just tights.
Same shit.
It's more of a contemporary than a traditional.
Okay. Okay, you're scaring me. It seems like you know more about ballet than you should, but no judgments. But yeah, I think it would be cool if you could get a picture of the person who plays Topiary with a shoe on his head and then tweet it out to Double Jake. I think that would be fucking cool.
I'll get a someone told me to go meet the Jester after the show and say, stay frosty.
Yeah.
Or record him saying, stay frosty.
Absolutely. In his costume. That would be fucking cool, dude. Yeah, try to make anything like that happen, and I will fucking buy you a drink.
Yeah, it should be interesting, at least interesting. It might be good. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows, dude? Who knows? You might be like, holy fuck, that was actually kind of good. You know? Like,
yeah.
But the thing is, you know you're going to be watching it, and the storyline, you're going to be like saying, like, oh, that's bullshit. Oh, no, that's bullshit. Oh, that's... What the fuck is that? Who the fuck wrote this shit? I'm sure they based it off of Parmi's book, or Biella was probably a fucking consultant. Yeah. People who fangirls of Anonymous, but not actual Anonymous people. I mean, hell, fucking Kayla, Topiary, T-Flow, all those dudes are fucking out free. There's no reason why they couldn't be a consultant on something like that. I mean, fuck, if Topiary can get permission to go on BBC and talk about Lulzsec and Anonymous and shit, he can fucking be a consultant on a goddamn fucking ballet. You know what, Caesar? Can I ask you something?
What?
I just want to get your personal opinion. People have been saying that I've been a little bit too rowdy lately. Do you agree?
You've been a little edgier than normal.
Okay. All right. And is it bad or good?
Probably in the middle somewhere. People think something's up with you because you've been a little unusual.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know if you noticed before, but I'm kind of an unusual guy.
Yeah, but more so than usual.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Besides a lot of personal stuff I'm going through in real life that I don't want to discuss here.
Of course.
Outside of that, I would say the thing that ignited me was getting involved in Free Hammond. The reason why I've been sort of mellow, middle of the line, objective, neutral, blah, 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 criticize both sides, but you know, in a calm, rational manner. The reason why I used to be like, well, I was like that, and I'll probably go back to being that, is because of Hector Monsegur.
Right.
I've said this before. He told me when I talked to him when he was already fucking a Fed. I didn't know it, obviously, at the time, but he said, nigga, don't get into this Anonymous shit. Stay neutral. I like what you're doing. Keep doing it. stay neutral. And somebody wants to know, what does Vince's problems have to do with Arab, Israeli, Palestine? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Hector was a huge Palestinian advocate. And he was very passionate, and he was not neutral. Okay? He was really serious about being revolutionary, about changing the world, about fucking shit up, about fucking over governments and corporations. But
yeah, the Hump flag is happy for a while.
Yeah, and the problem with that is when you're doing that out in the open, people notice, and eventually law enforcement notices. And you get fucking trapped. And he was trapped, and I interacted with him, and I don't know if this is what he was doing intentionally or whatever, but he told me emphatically, don't get involved in Anonymous and stay neutral. So I've stayed neutral this whole time. That's why I've been kind of mellow. I've been chill. I've been wacky. I've been zany. I make fun of Anonymous, you know, blah, blah, blah. But more and more I've been doing shows about cybercrime and stuff because, you know, it interests me and it interests my audience and stuff. And so this Free Hammond thing, Sue was... came up on my radar about, I think she approached me. She's like, hey, can you mention our Free Hammond thing? It was when she first started to do the signatures for the judge. And she's like, hey, would you mind, retweeting this and mentioning it on your show? And I said, yeah, sure, no problem. So I mentioned it on my show, and she was really nice. And then we connected. I had her on my show and talked to her. And over the course of that time, I was talking to friends of Jeremy's, people who knew him and stuff. And I started, like, looking at YouTube videos of him and shit, doing talks at cons. And I listened to his band, his ska band, which I actually think is pretty good. So I started to think, hey, you know, this kid doesn't seem so bad. I mean, he's reckless. He doesn't care. He's going to break the law because on principle, he's into civil disobedience and he knows the game. He knows what he's doing. He knows there's consequences for being civilly disobedient. And I know that when he gets out, he's going to go back to doing it again, and he's going to get busted again for something. Hopefully nothing fucking as crazy as hacking into fucking Stratford emails. But, dude, eventually his story, it captured me, and it reignited a flame, a passion, I don't know what I want to call it, but it fired me up. And so I started to say, hey, you know, I'm going to get on this. You know, I'm not going to be neutral for once. I'm going to join the fight to help this guy. You know, I think he's done his time, and I think he should be released. And so I started going crazy trying to help Sue get signatures, and I was just going fucking nuts, dude. I was just like on adrenaline. I was just going for it. And I think after that ended, my enthusiasm and adrenaline just continued. And then all of a sudden, of course, people are like, what are you, a fucking Anon now? What are you? Are you fucking pro-Anon all of a sudden? I thought you hated Anons, blah, blah, blah. I thought you made fun of them. Why are you supporting Hammond? What the fuck? Why are you promoting WePays and shit? And then all of a sudden I was like, all right, this is what Sabu was talking about. All right, fuck it. I decided to take a side. I'm going to take a side. I honestly think on principle that Jeremy Hammond should go free, and I think he's paid his debts to society, and that fire that ignited in supporting that has carried over into me calling out every asshole on Twitter on his bullshit. And I'm sorry if that asshole who's bullshitting happens to be a friend of mine, but I'm going to fucking tell him. I don't care. And you can go back and look at my tweets, dude. Look at my tweets. Well, you don't have to because, you know, you have better things to do. But if people really want to fucking see evidence, go back in my tweets. I tweeted once. I said, look, I don't care if you're a friend or foe. I'm tired of this. This is when all the drama was, like, really bad. And I was like, I don't care if you're friend or foe. I'm going to call you out on your shit. Okay? I'm going to tell you how it is. And if you don't like it, tough beans, because the truth hurts. And I think that's what people are kind of freaking out about, is like, what the fuck's wrong with Vince? It's because I'm calling people out. And I see a lot of these faggots. I've seen them for years now. People like Sanguinarius. And, you know, I like Sanguinarius, to be honest. I used to have fun with him in Wrestle League, IRC and shit. But I've seen, over the course of the years, I've seen what he's tried to do to people and what he's done to people. And I think he's a fucking slime ball. And I'm not afraid of saying it, okay? I'm not going to keep that to myself anymore. You know, fuck it. I don't care. I just don't give a fuck anymore. I mean, what the fuck, dude? I'm fucking broke. I'm a convicted cyber criminal, so everybody thinks I'm a hacker, even though I'm not. And so good luck trying to find a fucking job in Silicon Valley. So I have to survive on like freelance work and contracting work and shit. And sometimes, you know, there's periods where there's dry spells and it fucking sucks. And I apply to jobs where I can get full time with benefits and all that shit. And people, all HR people have to do is fucking Google my name and they see a Reuters article with me in it, and Lulzsec in it, you know, and all these computer criminals who have like hacked Sony for $700 million, you know, and there's me at the bottom. Oh, hacks PETA, you know, and gets one year probation. And of course they throw in a quote totally out of context, but whatever, man, it's not about me, even though it is. Shit, we're almost done here, dude. Caesar, is there anything you want to say now that I'm done blabbing?
Well, for anybody that's listening, I would just encourage everybody just to not take anybody else's word for what's going on in Palestine and Israel, and just try to get as much information as you can. There's local Palestinian groups in every major city. So you can go there, go talk to them, ask about their experiences, whether it's in Palestine or family in Palestine. And there's tons of documentaries, like I mentioned before, Five Broken Cameras, Death in Gaza, amongst many others that you can just find on YouTube. And just learn as much as you can and don't take anybody's word for it. And that's about it.
Hang on a second. I think we have another call. Hang on. Caller, are you there? Caller from the 661 area code. Hello?
Is that me?
Call. Yeah, that's you. Hello?
Hi, Vince.
Oh, Opno Pro.
Yeah.
Hey, did you want to talk?
Well, I don't know the demeanor of the conversations that have taken place already because I just read the introduction and the invitation.
Oh yeah, this was supposed to be a debate on Palestine with this guy Jaeger who told me to grease myself up because he was going to take me to school on Palestine, and he wanted to do it on Twitter, and I was like, I don't really feel like doing it on Twitter. Let's go on Tiny Chat or something. And he's like, oh, I'm on my mobile, dude. I can't Tiny Chat. I was like, all right, I'll set up a BTR show, and you can call into my show. Your phone can fucking call, right? And 15 minutes later, I'm in bed. I'm tired, blah, blah, blah. So Caesar mans up and comes through and kicks it with me, thank God, or else I'd just be talking or playing music the whole fucking time. But, yeah, so that's what's going on. We talked about Palestine a little bit. Caesar knows a lot more than I actually thought he did. He's actually been there. So
he seems to.
Yeah, so I'm glad he called in. This is cool. And now it makes me want to do like a proper show about it. So we'll set that up in the future. What I want to do right now is just say goodbye to guest 147. Guest 147. Love for World Peace, Monroe. Serenade something or other, Cinnable and Zazazazaz. Thanks for listening. I love you guys. But we're going to continue here as long as you guys want to hang around. And we can kick it. We can talk about Palestine and Israel, or we can keep talking about whatever. No Pro, you're old school and non. You have probably participated or have observed anonymous support of Palestine. Do you have any interesting stories or any insight into any operations around supporting the Palestinian activists?
I don't have any stories per se because each time I was invited to be part of an operation specifically on Palestine's behalf, I passed, not because I'm Jewish or pro-Israel per se in the situation, because I'm not. I am Jewish, but I'm not pro-Israel. I think what Israel's done is atrocious in the whole situation. So I haven't been part of any of the movement from an anonymous point of view.
Cool. Yeah, I don't blame you. If it were me, I could easily choose to jump in and try to take a side, and I think I kind of alluded to being on the side of Palestinians, and I'm not. I'm on the side of both. I want everybody to be living together in peace and harmony. And you know what? For the most part, there are plenty of Arabs and Islamists getting along with Jews in Israel all over the place. It's there's just certain sectors that are fucking goddamn police states, that are just like cages, and they turn these people into animals, like Gaza and whatnot. And, you know, of course, you got the settlements encroaching in on the West Bank and stuff, and that's just really, it's just really disheartening. Hello? Oh.
Yeah, just, like, imagine growing up and seeing your house get destroyed maybe twice. You're going to grow up to be a really fucking pissed off kid. And you're going to be pissed off at Israel and probably hate Israel. That's just the nature of human beings.
Yeah.
Or if you see your parents get shot or something.
Yeah, I did. Oh, man. It's fucking nuts, man. I wanted to thank OpnoPro for stopping in. He had to bail, and but that was cool that he popped in. I don't think he meant to talk. I think he was just listening. He didn't have his hand up, but somebody in the chat was saying that they had called in and pressed one and blah blah blah, and I'm not letting him on. So I thought that was the person, but it's not. Okay, so I played. I got to take a leak and refill my coffee, and I want to keep talking if it's cool with you, Caesar.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm not tired.
Okay. Cool. I'm not really tired either, and I could go for a little bit longer. But my bladder can't. So here's some hip hop I think you'll like. Do you know Charlie Tuna?
No.
No?
No.
Do you know Talib Kweli?
Talib Kweli, yeah, I know him.
Okay. Do you know Jurassic 5?
Yes.
Okay. So you probably know Charlie Tuna. Charlie Tuna is in Jurassic 5. He's the tall guy with a super deep voice.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about.
All right. So that rings a bell. Great. All right. So Charlie Tuna, so Jurassic 5 is back together now, but they took time off for like, fuck, dude, a long time. Like, I think like 10 years, maybe less. But whatever. In that meantime, Charlie Tuna went solo and came out with his own record. He collaborated with Galactic on a record. He went on a tour with Galactic. I actually was a videographer on a tour that he went on with Galactic and got to kick it with him and smoke blunts and chill with him and his brother. His brother's like his hype man. And he is a super chill guy. He's very positive. He's the biggest fucking stoner I've seen. Like, he was just always smoking, dude. Always rolling a fucking blunt. And, you know, his eyes are always glazed, but he's always so happy and nice and positive. But when he goes on stage, dude, he's a fucking, he rocks it, man. And he came out with this track with his brother called Lock Shit Down featuring Talib Kweli. And I like it. I hope you'll like it. I'm going to go take a piss and get some coffee and be right back.
All right.
Just bubble. We come with more heat than the sun do. Gorillas out of the concrete jungle. We came to just do this for you. Sit back and just watch us bubble. Gorillas out of the concrete jungle. We come with more heat.
Watch it down. Yeah. all secrets, I'm the best chef. Making sure my first step is my best step. I've watched my investments while the rest slept and changed tunes like the faders on the best text. Yes, I'm a mile under the floor with a switch up of a cushion, a towel under the door. You remember me as the tallest one of the four. Every time you come and check out your boy, he
hot shit down.
Yeah, hot like the tip of a blowtorch. Can lift up a show horse with little or no force. It's heavy but low voice, making ladies go, boys don't front. People fill up the joint, there's no choice. I'm running my mouthpiece and I outreach to the power of devout speech. While you shout beef, screaming from your couch seat, we about heat and we come to
hot shit down.
We came to just do this for you. Sit back and just watch us bubble. We come with more heat than the sun do. Gorillas out of the concrete jungle. We came to just do this for you. Sit back and just watch us bubble. Gorillas out of the concrete jungle. We come with more heat.
Hot shit down.
Yeah. Second half of a doubleheader. Tune up the trouble setter, here to make it bubble better. Rhinosaurus bass, thick as Barney Rubble sweater. And I'm blowing like the coldest wind of Chicago weather. Hey, why you sweeter than plain cinnamon? My lyric venom in your vein, now your brain hemorrhaging. If you think that I'm insane, I'm a plain citizen. People call me out my name, I remain disciplined. Hey, a wicked sentence and a vicious blend. Has more wealth than the wallets of the richest men. It's interesting, pay attention to what you witnessing. The love of the art form, not just the dividends. Yeah. All eyes on me, but please don't put the rumors and them lies on me. Cause I'm just that clown to come with the fat sound. Charlie Tuna, Todd Live, and we come to
hot shit down.
In the concrete jungle like wild animals. Stomach growling like lions, it's understandable. Rappers will run right up on you and try to battle you. Quicker than a cheetah run up on a caribou. What up, Tuna? The blacksmith is back with the backflip flow. I got the survival tactics. Cracking, open like the seal on the package. Came with a message. We must retain the freshness. Lame and your brain depressing. Is this what the game is left with?
Word?
Oh, homie, name is weapon. Soon as Mr. International stepping, you're rapping irresponsible and rational deafness. Ready, got enough lyrics, I've been stocking up. Get on some Vince Vaughn, you better lock it up. Is it live or what? We came to rock it now. Treat it like it's out of pocket.
We came to just do this for you. Sit back and just watch us bubble. We come with more heat than the sun do. Gorillas out of the concrete jungle. We came to just do this for you. Sit back and just watch us bubble. Gorillas out of the concrete jungle. We come with more heat.
Shit, dude, I'm muting and unmuting the wrong people. there it is. That was Charlie Tuna with Talib Kweli, Lock Shit Down. What'd you think?
That was a pretty good tune. I liked it.
It's a great record, too, man. I think it's called Fish Market or something. I don't know. You can find it. You can find it online. But what was I going to say? Oh, okay. I hope you don't mind. I kind of want to do like a Vince opens up to Oprah type moment with you.
No.
Do you mind? You don't mind?
No.
Okay. Because I want to address this issue about me acting all crazy and weird. Okay. So for the past couple months, obviously the drama in our little circle of friends has gotten fucking toxic, right?
Right.
Like to the point where people like Viz is like, fuck this, I'm out. This is dumb. And I don't blame people like that. And for a long time, I was just ignoring it. I was just like, you know what? If I see somebody that that I'm just not liking what they're saying, I'm just going to unfollow them just quietly. I'm just going to do my thing, and you know, maybe I'll subtweet as a commentary here and there, but I'm going to try to just not get caught up in it. And you know, and I'm seeing people that I usually see just joking and, you know, doing pranks and stuff and having fun, and they're like getting all serious and stuff and mad and hating on people. And so I think, speaking of Viz, I think this started with Viz, this sort of idea that I have. Is when we were on when we were coming back from DEF CON, when we were driving on the road, we stopped at McDonald's and I got a burger with bacon on it, and you know, I'm anti bacon sex, blah blah blah, and so Viz tweets out, "I have proof that Vince just ate bacon. He's not bacon sick. It's a big fucking honeypot. You've all been fucking punked." And like everybody, like all of a sudden, well, not everybody, but a lot of people kind of like forgot about the whole whatever the latest drama bullshit was, and we're just like, yeah, and everybody was just making fun of me and how I'm a fraud for not really, for really right liking bacon, and, you know, all this conspiracy stuff. And it was fun, right? It was just, well, whatever. It was make-believe. It was make-believe drama, right?
Right.
And Viz and I, that happened, and we on our I drove with Viz back to California and back to the Bay Area from LA, and we kind of on the road on the way home kind of high fived each other. We're like, dude, we just totally, like, everybody distracted from all the fucking drama-rama for a second, man. You know, that's a fucking win right now, right there. You know, we were like stoked. So, you know, I don't know. I kind of feel like part of me wants to rip these people's heads off that are being such fucking douchetards, and part of me wants to do like what Viz and I did and like just distract people with fun, goofy drama that's fake. So you know, so that's what my ninjas thing, my thing with the ninjas is all about.
Right.
But unfortunately now the drama is infiltrated the ninjas, so I can't even have fun with them anymore.
Oh yeah, they'll have a fucking shitstorm.
So I decided, you know what, fuck it. I'm just going to do it myself. So when did it start? Oh, one night I was sleepless and bored and nothing was going on. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to pretend like Sabu hacked my Twitter. And I got the idea from Anand Central, who at the time tweeted out "hacked by Sabu," and Spanish Russia Today news site like reported it as news, and I was just fucking whole. I couldn't believe it. So I copied and pasted what they tweeted about being hacked by Sabu, and then tweeted it myself. And I'm like, hey, look at me. I'm hacked by Sabu. Where's my article? And it was late at night. It was, you know, late. So I don't think a lot of people were paying attention. But then, well, some people were paying attention, but whatever. So then I decided, well, Russia Today wasn't paying attention. So I said, fuck it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make it seem like Sabu really fucking hacked me. So I did, you know, I had already been doing research on Sabu because I wanted to do a blog on him. And so I have a collection of a bunch of old chat logs, a lot of Lulzsec chat logs and stuff. And the one I used was, there's a chat log that The Guardian and Gawker or Wired or one of those fags outlets, posted all the, you know, Lulzsec chat logs. So I went in there and I just did a function F for Sabu, and everything he said, I just tweeted. Everything he said in those chat logs, I pretty much copy-pasted into my Twitter and pretended like Sabu was me. And some people thought I was on drugs. Some people thought I was crazy. Some people thought, you know, I get the usual, go home, Vince, you're drunk, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't care. I'm having fun. I'm listening to Rage Against the Machine. I'm in a zone. I'm trolling people or trying to troll people. So I did that for fun for that night / morning. I duped what's his name? Crappy Airbags. Because Crappy Airbags, right, like started tweeting with me saying, "What's up, nigga? What's up with my feds? What up, blah blah blah." And so I scrolled through the chat log and found like something Sabu said as an answer to somebody else, and I copied and pasted that and made that the answer to Crappy Airbags. And it worked. And then Crappy Airbags said something, and whatever. I did another answer, and that seemed to work. And then I started tweeting about like in that log, he says there's a couple of lines where he's talking about some technical shit and stuff. So I'm pasting that in there. And that makes Crappy Airbags think I really am Sabu. And then people like Rain Coaster are starting to think, they're like, oh my God, this actually sounds like stuff Sabu would say. I think this might be him. And I'm just fucking lulzing the whole time. And fuck, dude. I keep on posting shit in there, and shit, where am I going with this? Dude, I was tweeting stuff like in those chat logs. He talks shit about 2600 and all the people in it and how they all SE everybody and they're all feds and all this shit. So I'm tweeting that out, and I'm just hoping that if any 2,600 people out there might have been offended, that, you know, they're not going to fucking come after me or something. But I put a disclaimer after I admitted that it wasn't me. But whatever. So there were enough people that were kind of like, dude, I think, well, they some people thought it was Sabu. Other people just thought it was a hacker. They just thought I got hacked. My Twitter account has never been hacked. It's always been either me or me giving my password to somebody. And in that case, I didn't give my password to anybody. It was just me. And I felt bad later because Sue Crabtree like tweeted me. She's like, oh my God, you know, people are acting like I'm fucking dead. Like, oh, because somebody hacked my Twitter, so suddenly I'm dead. You know, what the it's a fucking social media account. I can get another one, dudes. But whatever. So when people started when Sue got like all worried, I was like, all right, I gotta put the kibosh on this. So I said, so I pretended like, oh, I got rid of the hacker. It's back under my control, blah, blah, blah. Everything's fine. I'm, you know, don't worry, everybody. And then I did a show that night saying, you know, it was me the whole time. I was just, you know, it was a big hoax. Yeah. So I did that, and that was fun. And that was the first time where people saw me and said, what the fuck's wrong with Vince? What the hell is he doing? You know, he's tweeting random shit. I don't get it. And then, blah, blah, blah. Oh, then the Million Mask March happened. And I, again, because of my research I'm doing on Sabu for my my blog that I want to do on him, I'm hoping it's an I can sell it to somebody like Daily Dot or something or Vice or whatever as an like an op-ed or something. But whatever, if not, it'll just be a blog. But so, you know, I made the mistake of going into various chat rooms in different, you know, IRCs and snooping around and lurking and meeting up with people and trying to, you know, not just on IRC, but on Twitter too. People I know on Twitter DMing them saying, hey, you know, I know you're around when Sabu is around. Do you happen to have any old chat logs that he's in? I'm just curious, you know, I'm just trying to collect research and stuff, blah, blah, blah. Everybody gives me answers like, dude, I think that's on one of my old computers. I don't know. I'll have to look. You know, other people are like, dude, I don't think I have it anymore. I just got totally stonewalled. Even by Kishu. Kishu, who was like my best friend, who was like one of Hector's little e-whores, who had, you know, had probably more closer contact with him than anybody I know. And I asked her, I'm like, hey, do you still have any logs left from you and Sabu? Like, what's up? You know, can you, is there any, I mean, you can redact shit. You can give me pieces. I don't care. I just want to collect as much information and testimonials from people and opinions and people, you know, relating their experiences. And I'm trying to get logs too, because I just want to get as much information as possible and, you know, write a fair piece on it. On him. And she's like, oh, I deleted them. I don't have them, which I think she's lying. And whatever. So during all this research, I start to go off into IRCs and I end up on FNet and, I find this dude who's Brazilian. He claims to be a Brazilian hacker, and he tells me, oh, yeah, dude, I used to know Sabu. I used to talk to him. I haven't talked to him in years, but, yeah, I have logs. I'll share you my logs. I'm like, really? So we go, like, going to a back channel, and we're talking and shit, and he's telling me stuff, and, you know, he's telling me everything I want to hear, and I'm like, wow, dude, I think I might have fucking finally, you know, got a lead, not a lead, but like somebody that is going to, you know, get me some juicy stuff, or juicier than I've gotten so far. And, of course the logs never materialize, but he seems pretty cool. And we chat for a long time and blah, blah, blah. And, he says he's an anonymous, he's a non from Brazil, São Paulo, and he is excited about, you know, we talk about the Million Mask March. He asked me, he's like, are you going to the march? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go check it out. He's like, are you excited? Do you have your mask? Do you have your costume? What are you doing? I'm like, no, I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm not really going to participate. I'm just going to kind of lurk and check it out because I'm kind of dubious, to be honest. I think it's just going to be a bunch of feds and new fags, you know? And he's like, are you crazy? He's like, dude, where I'm at, people are fucking mobilizing and shit, and, like, shit's happening and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, but I, you know, I have a job. I do, apparently he's, like, in the financial industry or something, like a day trader, I think. And whatever. So he had a lot of business he had to do, so he couldn't go to his to demonstrations or anything. And, you know, he's kind of a hermit. He just lives on his computer. and he's into activism and stuff, and he says he's a hacker, although I don't have any proof that he's a hacker. I don't even have proof he's from Brazil, to be honest. Whatever. So we get to talking, and I mentioned, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go to this march, and I want to cover it and tweet it and stuff, but, you know, I don't have a smartphone with a camera or anything that I can tweet with, so I'm just going to take pictures and then, you know, tweet them later, and, you know, I'm not going to be able to tweet from the march or anything, so I'm going to kind of just, I guess, just kind of be dark and talk about it later. And I don't know, we eventually get this idea that he's like, hey, how about this? He's like, dude, I'm active. I'm going to be doing, like, there's all kinds of shit going on, you know, popping off in Brazil and Argentina and Venezuela and Colombia and Mexico. And he's like, all these South American countries, he's like, he's like, it's going to be big here, man. I don't know what it's like going to be. And I told him, I think the U.S. is going to suck. And he's like, all right, man, well, whatever. He's like, but whatever. So we decided that we were going to, I was like, okay, since I'm going to be on this march and I'm going to miss all the, whatever, the Twitter stuff going on, I offered him my, I changed my password, and then I offered the new password to him as I was like, all right, if you want, you can have access to my account while I'm on my march, and you can just like retweet stuff that's going on during the day. Because when I woke up, I was like, that morning, I'd seen like what had already been going on the rest of the world. And I was like, wow, dude, this is like some shit, dude. I didn't expect this. And so I was like, yeah, dude, totally, man. Take over my account, like, you know, retweet stuff from all over the world, you know, 'cause I was looking at his feed and he was like, you know, seemed to be really on top of shit. And I was like, dude, you know, I think a lot of my followers would be into this shit. So yeah. So I gave him my account and he, you know, he did that, and he did some fucked up tweets too, which I told him not to. I told him to try to like pretend like he's me, but whatever. So I got back and I find out that he's just fucking total, like, well, he's kind of done what he said, but and then some. And then he locked me out of my account for a second, and to him, he was just like, it was just a joke. Like, he wasn't trying to steal it from me or anything. These Brazilians are fucking crazy people. So he thought it was just funny. He was just laughing. He eventually gave it back to me. I changed it. I locked him out. I said, dude, this isn't cool. You know, I know you think this is funny, but, you know, it is just a Twitter account. But still, man, you know, I've had Vince in the Bay since 2009, and, you know, I want to keep it forever. So I really don't want anything. I don't want people to steal it. I don't want people to do shit that's going to get it, you know, banned or anything. And he was cool. He's like, all right, whatever, you know, whatever, pussy. And so that was the hack. It wasn't a hack. I just gave the dude my fucking thing. And yeah. So, but then like I started following him and getting like, and all this protesting shit all over the world. And then the Venezuela thing that happened the other day, I was just like, wow, this is some fucking crazy shit. You know, this kind of reminds me of how Anonymous was in like 2011. And so like I've kind of actually become friends with him, and I think he goes by Mayhem, and I think it's a pretty good name for him, at least based on my experience.
I've seen that account.
Yeah. He, oh, dude. Yeah, there's more behind that account than I want to go into. But let's just say he's a fucking crazy Brazilian, and I think he's rich as fuck. I think he's like, I think this is what I think he is. I think he's like, he's really into like the stock market and shit. So what I think he is like a fucking stockbroker or a hedge fund guy, and I think he's just fucking rolling in dough, and he just moonlights as like an anonymous prankster, you know, and he's but he seems to be like. He seems to be kind of like he's definitely interested in technology and the technology sector as far as like the markets and stuff. I don't know what's going on with him. I think he's rich. I think he is involved in like, you know, some sort of major financial shit, and he's kind of a playboy, and he's got plenty of time on and money on his hands, and so he can you know take a break here and there and be anonymous and just fuck with people. And
right.
He found me and fucked with me. And he SE'd me. That was like the first time that I felt. Like I got raped as far as social engineering goes. And I'd love to do a social engineering show too. I want to try to, he wants to come on my show. Like he's like, dude, I know people with podcasts. I'll come on your podcast. You know, we can tell the story. We can, I've done this to other people, but different ways. And he's like, Let's do it, man. So I'm gonna try to get him on and do like a social engineering show. Caesar, have you ever SE'd anybody or been SE'd?
I've SE'd people in the past. Now I really don't have the patience for it. So I just do, you know, my usual Palestine stuff.
It seems like you've kind of mellowed out and just kind of like. Stuck to priorities that mean something to you, but can you just?
Yeah, I mean,
I used to do
a lot of other stuff, and it's just because it invokes too much drama when you go around doing that stuff all the time.
Yeah, but just give me a story, anything. You can change the names to protect the innocent or not so innocent. But I'm just curious.
Let me try to think of a story. There's nothing really that I can share, like, on the radio. Is this going to be in the archive?
Go ahead. Sorry.
Would this be in the archive?
Yeah, this will be in the archives.
Okay, yeah, I can't say that because you'll get pissed.
Or you know what I could do is I could erase the show because right now it's just me and you in the archives. Well, somebody is going to download it before I delete it. It's going to be in the archives. You shouldn't say it.
I'll tell you another way.
How about this? When I meet you in New York over a beer, you can tell me.
Yeah, it's actually a hilarious story.
Yeah. I got SE'd by fucking Kishu. Remember Kishu?
Yeah.
Yeah, she heart trolled me hard, dude. She got me to like totally fall for her because she used to be part of this crew, this troll crew called the BWC, the Bill Wagoner crew.
Right.
And they used to troll the fuck out of BTR hosts, dude. Like they made people rage quit. They swatted people. They pizza bombed. They did it all, man. They made so many hosts just quit the internet. It was crazy, man. Luckily, I took a break around the time that they were doing all that shit. And I kind of came back after they were still around, but they were not as fucking destructive as they were.
Right.
And so they had this crew. It was mostly dudes. They had a couple chicks. And this one chick, they got Kishu. Kishu was with them. And they always trolled me. I was sort of like, I kind of boasted that, like, I was untrollable, that they couldn't wrestle my jimmies. They did kind of wrestle my jimmies because they found my phone number because fucking Kishu gave it to them. And no, Kishu didn't give it to me. Another chick. Those are the ones you have to look out for with the SEing if you're a dude, is chicks. They're the ones. And what's that?
It's really easy for a girl to SE a guy on the internet because, you know, they're just, some guys are just too desperate.
Yeah, like
it,
me.
It happens all the time.
Totally, dude. Yeah, so she started becoming friends with me, and then she just like kind of like became my co-host on my show for a long time, and we became friends, and we, you know, and then she I don't know, we were like talking every day and stuff, and it was like we're e boyfriend girlfriend, and then we started, you know, started texting, started calling. And then eventually it became, hey, let's try to meet. And so we set up this time to meet. She's like, all right, I got my ticket. I'm going to be flying in on what, you know, such and such a date at Oakland Airport, and I want you to come pick me up. And I was like, fuck yeah, sweet. So it comes down to the day of to come pick her up, and, you know, like, I clean up my room, I fucking clean up myself, I, you know, I get all ready, and before I leave the house, I get a call from Kishu, and she says, look, I'm sorry, but I was trolling you. I didn't want to do it because I ended up starting to really like you and stuff, but I'm not flying in today. And the BWC put me up to it, and they wanted me to go all the way, they wanted me to trick you into going all the way to the airport and wait there and never find me. And I was like, oh, really? So even trolls sometimes have guilty consciences, and she saved me a trip to the airport. So that's how she heart trolled me, sort of. But then we ended up becoming real friends, and then she came out and really visited me, and we hit it off and became buddies, and then she came back again for Operation BART during August, and yeah, so and aside from social engineering, just trolls in general, I've noticed that a lot of the people that I'm friends with now on the internet or on BTR originated as enemies of mine, people that hated me, that wanted to like get me off the air or just fuck with me. And then after they kind of had their fun, I don't know, either they liked me or they respected me or whatever, but now they're cool with me. So I almost feel like on the internet there's It's like being in a gang. There's like an initiation. You know, everybody has to have, you know, their chance to beat the shit out of you, and then you're initiated in the gang, you know? Caesar, did I lose you? Yep, I lost Caesar. Caesar got tired of listening to me talk. I wonder if I can call. Oh, I can't even call out. Oh, it sucks. Oh, well, it's been a long, boring show. I apologize to anybody who's... I apologize to anybody who listened to this and was disappointed. I, too, am disappointed. I got 15 minutes left. I still have some coffee. So I'm just gonna vamp here and fucking finish it off. But before I do that, let me play a song to get fired up to get the fuck out of here. Dun 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 dun. Okay. Let's do, okay, it's Monday. I used to do a show called Mac Dre Monday, and I used to play just Mac Dre tunes until Joe Pritch, like, called in and cussed me out for playing Mac Dre, so fuck him. I won't do a Mac Dre Monday ever again. I hope you're happy. I think I'm going to play this song about California, old school Mac Dre, California Livin'. I'll be right back to end the show.
Yeah, it's Mac Dre back in your face. In California. I got my homeboy Cooley in the place. Kick back, let us tell you about
this California lifestyle that I live. Loose F that board, highs and mids. Whoopers in the truck, straight slamming. Striking through the neighborhood, jamming. We can drop the top, I blow the brakes. Hit the intersection and do some things. Stacking up freaks with a gang of yo. Smooth, thick legs, no pantyhose. Silky perms and dookie braids. Brothers with curls, some with fangs. House party rock, way past three. Players straight tip on Hennessy. High speed chases, Chevy races. Having sex in the strangest places. Nike shoes, Levi jeans. Triple gold datings with straight lazy. Some on balls, some on elite. Brothers like me rap to the beat. Dual exhaust, candy paint. Fat bank and a gang of dang. Never on time, always late. On the Bay Bridge or the Golden Gate. If you wanna live on the best coast, you better try to move to the west coast. Well, life is too short and the game is deep. Home of the Mac and the groupie old chick. Where brothers stay on the savage grind. Kick with a freak when they find the time. The C-A-L-I-F-O-R-N-I-A rap superstar. Dose for dose, I love to spit. And for the day, I love to hit. Hold it in, so it can choke me. And when I get decked, it will provoke me. To bust a rhyme through the mic. A West Coast rap, the kind you like. I'm from the B-A-L-L-E-J-O. We're making dope raps, is all I know. Wake up in the morning, eat some grits. Hit the studio, make some hits. Now that you've been told about, watch you rap fans get sold about. 1 million copies or even more. I'm pumping dope rhymes to the record store. Yeah, fool, you hear me spit. Telling you about that California living.
California living.
California living. Oh yeah, I got my boy Cooley in the house, he's in the bus one.
Yeah, what y'all know about C-O-O-L-I-O on this microphone? It's up every day, trying to make it through. Stacking a bank, pulling women in our face too. Would wanna be down with this California lifestyle. Ruthless as a child, now I'm living wild. In the streets of California, you better be packing. And watch your back due to the back of jacket. The wind breeze, blowing through the trees. And I'm still getting tacked at 100 degrees. Trying so hard on the avenue. From LA to the bank, brothers stay coming through. And Benz's, Porsches, Fathers bangs. Drop cruise, lit chairs, and whip the bangs. Gold days, the bonus, candy paint the kids. Fifth wheel, gold wheel, boy, I'm talking about lips. Some of the best females ever seen. Straight California snakes, out for your green. In the gold state, living way too real. Boom,
like it's off, you best be cool to the double R. All my time is getting coolie on Mac Dre, California living.
Oh yeah, Mac Dre, representing the Bay. Fizz in Peace. It's California Living by Mac Dre. Okay, so I'm going to wrap it up here. Again, a big thanks to Caesar for calling in and holding it down with me. That was cool. Opno Pro, thank you for the quick cameo. Jaeger Johnson, thank you for inspiring me to do a show, dedicated to debating you without you fucking calling in. I just want to read this guy's tweets to me because, okay, so it all starts with, I think it starts with, okay, so Schmoop and I are debating or whatever, talking about Palestine, and Caesar jumps in and says, you know, Vince, go fuck yourself. So that's how Caesar got involved in it. And, hey, Caesar fucking called in. He told me to fuck myself and he called in. So other people jumping in, we're talking about Palestine, touchy issue, blah blah blah. Suddenly I get this message from Jaeger Johnson. It's Jaeger Johnson on Twitter, and he says, all right, Vincent of the Bay, just me and you debating Palestine. Grease yourself up all over because it's going to be rough as fuck. I'll read it again. All right, Vince in the Bay, just me and you debating Palestine. Grease yourself all over because this is going to be rough as fuck. This is going to be rough as fuck. Okay, he's going to make it. I got to grease myself up because I'm going to get roughed up on Twitter. Wow. I'm scared. So, whatever. Then he says, Vince in the Bay, this is Jaeger Johnson, whatever the fuck. He says, it's going to take a while, so you might as well tuck yourself into that Hanael body pillow for now, Vunce. I don't even know what that means. I guess that means he wins. And then he says, okay, so I mentioned that I'd like to see a two-state solution for Palestine and Israel. And he says, oh, all right, so you think a two-state solution is the answer. Why is that? I mean, have you come up with one hell of a reason to justify apartheid? So he thinks apartheid is what I'm suggesting. So suddenly I am for apartheid. Baseless accusation number one right there. Separating one people from another isn't apartheid. There's another word for it that begins with an R if you want to go there. And I believe the word R is racism. And blah, blah, blah. And then he says, they usually come about by disseminating native populations. You know, things can change. Racism happens all the time. Does it justify it? And I said, what does racism have to do with this whatsoever? And then he says, oh, it does. Talk about borders and racism is very often the root of reason for their existence. Oh, really? Is racism the root of the Canadian-U.S. border existence? What else did he say? Another one where he just calls me whatever. It's just insults. It's not even like a debate. He's just insulting me. So then I say, hey, let's get on Tiny Chat. Let's blah, blah, blah. And he says, I'm usually stuck on mobile, but once I get my old laptop up and running, I'm game. So I say, all right, well then, I go back. Okay, so I say, well, can you fix your laptop now and call and make this happen? He says, I can, but in about two weeks, I can maybe do Tiny Chat on mobile before that. And I'm like, well, mobile Tiny Chat is usually unstable, so let's not do that. And he says, in like a week, I got to fix the laptop because Tiny Chat mobile usually sucks on my end. And then he talks about how, he's on a borrowed laptop at the moment and the damn app is only good for me sending shitty audio. Okay. That sounds like a excuse to me. And then all of a sudden he says, Vince in the Bay, you're getting your ass whooped. You're in a state of confusion. Yeah, you're right. I'm in a state of confusion. You just spent your last five tweets telling me about how fucked up your computer is. How's that getting my ass whooped? Then he says, oh, and I made a reference to Reagan, and he says, other than comparing me to Reagan, there hasn't been much of an argument on your end. And in between this, I'm telling him, dude, let's fucking do a radio show then. I'll set up a radio show and we can talk on the radio. Since you don't have, all you have is mobile, why don't you call in? And then he tells me I have to do my research and, oh, I brush aside the fact that racism is part and parcel of apartheid. Why don't we start there? Look, this isn't South Africa, all right, bro? This is a completely different situation. I hate it when people bring in analogies and generalities into things. It's there's no perfect analogy. It's just not fair to do that. You just stick with the facts with the subject. And then I say, let's do the BTR show, and all of a sudden, okay, and between that, between his racism and apartheid thing, I suggest a BTR show. He says, well, if I'm still awake, I'm more than up for a BTR session. If I'm still awake. Okay, so he set himself up to have an out because he's tired. And I say, hey, why don't you make a pot of coffee? I am. Let's do this. And he says, oh, the caffeine is the devil's nectar. And blah, blah, blah. And then he tries to get all chummy and blah, blah, blah. And then he complains about getting an audience at this time of night. And it wasn't even about an audience. I just wanted to talk to him. And then he keeps going on about an audience. So he wants an audience. And apparently he's more interested in an audience than an actual debate. So maybe when I get an audience, he'll decide to debate. Until then, I'm Vince in the Bay. I love you all. I will make love to you all again soon. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/VinceInTheBay. I will do a show again sometime soon, and I hope you will join me.